This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Sawyers Bay, Dunedin, and I'm joined from Whakatane by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. Are you getting ready for the onslaught of new learners coming in?
Yes, I cannot wait. It's my favourite time of year when we get our new learners starting. And yes, it just seems to be getting better and better every year. I'm always excited. How about you?
Well, we never stop.
Yeah, that's right. Capable, never stop.
We have a rolling cohort. Which is fantastic, which means we don't have the big startup, but it also means it never stops.
No, you don't get a proper break. That's not always good.
Well, we have to insist on having it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's also at the same time that other people are taking a break from their work, which is a chance for them to get on with doing reflection and so on. So being unavailable at that time is a bit of a double-edged sword.
Yes.
So, who are we introducing today?
Today it is my great pleasure to introduce our wonderful Rennie. Welcome, Rennie. It is a joy to have you here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Kia ora, Rennie. Where did you grow up, Rennie? The show's all about you.
I was born in Jakarta in Indonesia. I grew up there, even though I went to Taiwan for high school a bit, and then I live in Hong Kong for about 13 and a half years, and then back home a little bit, and now I'm here in New Zealand.
That's quite a mobile upbringing.
Yeah, a little bit.
do lots of places feel like home?
I guess all of the places feel like home, at least at the time that I lived there. And I guess I used to move around and travel a lot. So in a way, yeah, a lot of places feels homey to me. It feels like home. But most of the time, what makes it home, I think, is the company, like family or friends. If you don't feel so lonely, I guess you feel at home anywhere.
And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, that's a difficult question because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I told this to some of my friends that when I chose the degree that I was studying back in uni for my bachelor degree, I kind of used like elimination instead of choosing because I really don't like history class, and that's why I chose computer science because there won't be any history lesson in class. So, yeah, and I'm kind of into computer a little bit back then, I guess. Yeah, but not very, very like it like a passion, but I kind of enjoy it, and that's why I did the degree, even though I ended up never doing any job related to computer science. So it's just a degree and I don't have any experience related to that. That's why I went back to school, I guess, now. So in a hope I can have a career now that's something that I'm really into and passionate about, I hope.
Where did you do your computer science degree?
It's actually back in Jakarta, Indonesia, but it's an offshore degree. It's from University of Wollongong, but I did the degree in Jakarta.
So I can say with some certainty that it's quite a long way from computer science to sustainability. Tell me about that journey.
Well, I work as a flight attendant before, so I travel a lot for 12 years. And a lot of times that if I was not sightseeing or going, not going anything else, then what I did was like window shopping or shopping, just shopping for stuff that I may need, but a lot of the time I just buying for the sake of buying. And also when I was flying, I saw a lot of the trash, especially plastic that was produced back on the flight, especially for a long flight. By the time we landed, sometimes we have these big plastic bags, maybe 3 or 4, full of just trash. And that's what get me thinking, like I need to feel like I want to do something about it. And for what I can do, at least a little bit, I try not to shop so much too. Like for the first few years, I kind of shop and not thinking about anything. And afterwards, I slowly but gradually not buying as much, like limit myself to just buy one thing per trip, or in the end, like only once a month or things like that, so that I don't just consume. I feel like consumerism is a big trouble now, but a lot of people don't even think about it. They don't even realize it. So I feel like I want to do something about it, and I hope that I can after I finish this degree that I'm studying right now.
Let's take your music choice. We've got Josh Groban with Brave. Why this one?
Most of the songs that I like to listen to, one of my sister will say it's mostly slow song that makes her fall asleep. But this one is a little bit more upbeat, and I kind of like the meaning, I guess, in a bit, like to be brave. Like with me going back to school and decided to try and have a new career after more than around 20 years away from school. So it's kind of like something that maybe that I need to listen to right now, like to be brave.
Wake up, wake up, the sun cannot wait for long. Reach out before it fades away. You will find the warmth when you surrender. Smile into the fear and let it pass. Just carries on, and all that she thought was wrong is pure again. You can't hide forever from the thunder. Look into the storm and feel the rain.
Stand up and hold out your hand.
bubble sprite of the forest of Orokonui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui ki a koutou ko tahua hau. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day. Who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here, making things better. Thank you. Now I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough. We've had to navigate our way through a global pandemic and its aftermath. And here we are, standing in a new dawn, in a new reality, and doing our best to help each other to get through. As I speak to you now, I'm standing in the water on the boat ramp in Portobello, my first home, the Otago Peninsula, where I grew up until the age of 7 as a wee girl in the sea or up a tree. And then my mother and I went to LA and then to Glasgow and then to England. And we settled in England. And for the first 18 years of my life, I moved between England and New Zealand. And finally at 18 was able to return here. And I got my first job at the aquarium. And so as I stand here with you now, I can see some beautiful snails, some beautiful 11-armed stars, some beautiful coralline algae, and all of these lovely aquatic friends serve to remind me of how rich the world we live in is. So many squillions of other life forms sharing this space with us right here, right now. And here we are, able to marvel at them and care for them as much as we possibly can with the time that we have left. What a pleasure that is, what a privilege that is. What a window into our own hearts each of these life forms provide, that we can care for them, that we have the power, that we have the capacity. It's such a gift. And as I turn and look out over the waves, the rippling waves, all the patterns that they make, the colours that they reflect from the sky, like the inside of a power shell, how lucky we are to see these colours, these shapes, these patterns, this beauty, and this deep and abiding peace that resides within can come forward in these moments of reflection and appreciation. It's been interesting for me being back here and noticing the patterns and the rhythms of life here in this very small coastal settlement. Every so often, when I'm standing here in the water, my daily hydrotherapy, and a boat comes past, of course, after the boat moves away, there are these big waves from the wake of the boat. And in a way, that's what we're experiencing now. We are standing in the wake of this global pandemic. And of course, those ripples and those waves are affecting us all in different ways. I know up at Orokonui Eco Sanctuary, my heart's home workplace, we are still struggling to return to the point financially that we were pre-COVID, and we may never return there. But we're certainly finding many new ways of adapting and working in with community to sustain ourselves and those beautiful taonga species that we have there. I was very fortunate today to have my beautiful eco warriors visit me, and we were able to go and see many, many beautiful invertebrates that are living around the visitor centre. And of course, even just around the visitor centre, where the habitat has been regrowing for 17 years, there are now a profusion of rare and beautiful native spiders and moths and butterflies and worms and beetles, and all these beautiful ancient ancestors of ours have quite happily made a home there. So I really hope in your day-to-day you're finding ways to marvel at the resilience of the world around you, and of course the resilience of your inner world. I love being part of this show and being able to speak with you. So a huge thank you to Sam and the whole Blue Bubbles team for having me. And I'll talk with you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Rennie.
Rennie, we're going to listen to your podcast shortly. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the people that you interviewed and why you chose them?
So at the beginning, I contacted Sophie or Sophia from Chunky, and they have this Chunky loan cup system. And I was thinking maybe I could do something with them for my final project. And after talking for like a month or two, probably, we decided maybe what they wanted to do with me is maybe too complicated for me to do for the final project. So in the end, when in the class you say we need to look for someone to be interviewed, seems like a very good idea. And they are not really big at the moment in Dunedin, even though they are in Queenstown, so it seems like a very good idea and a good platform for them, so that people know more about them, about their loan cup system.
Beautiful. And is there anything in particular that you want our listeners to listen out for?
I guess just small ideas that you can do to help reduce single-use items, especially like this with this loan cup. Instead of always getting those disposable cups when you buy drinks, you can use whatever they offer instead of the loan cup system or the borrowed mug like what they do in university. So yeah, I guess that's what I think you can get from the interview.
Hi, my name is Rennie, and I'm studying for Master of Sustainable Business at University of Otago. In this podcast, I would like to discuss a contemporary issues in sustainable business. The topic I'm interested in discussing today is reusable takeaway cups system. The notion of throwing something away after a single use would have been unthinkable in the past. Today's throwaway society normalizes disposable products. Consumerism is a new business model that relies on people continually buying new items, with products designed to break or require constant replacement for convenience and time saving. Today, almost everything we own is disposable to some extent, with most items fully or partially made from plastic. Jacqueline Savitz, Chief Policy Officer at Oceana, said, "When your bathtub is overflowing, you don't run for a mop before you turn off the faucet. Recycling is the mop. We need to first turn off the faucet." New policies and legislation are driving the change to more sustainable solutions and a circular economy, such as creating reusable items and systems to support their circulation, cleaning, and reuse. This leads me to my interview today. Welcome, Sophia, Sustainability Manager and Content Creator of Chunky. We'll discuss the Chunky Loan Cup system and how it got started. The Chunky Loan Cup system is a nationwide not-for-profit initiative that supports cafes with free membership, aiming to reduce waste from single-use coffee cups. Customers pay a $10 refundable deposit to use a loan cup, which they can return for reuse for their next coffee or to get their $10 deposit back. Thanks, Sophia, for agreeing to do this podcast.
Welcome, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Kia ora, everyone. Thank you for being here.
Sophia, I'm interested to getting to know you a little bit and the work you're doing with Chunky. So what sparked your interest in sustainability, particularly in the context of reducing single-use cups?
Well, since I was a young woman, I've been always interested, or better said, concerned about how our current economic system works. My grandpa was the first one who told me about the concept of consumerism. And since then, it got kind of stuck with me. So every single research I did at school, it was on the topic of consumerism and disposable society. And when I finished the secondary school, I decided to study the only bachelor degree that made sense for me, that was environmental sciences. And yeah, after 6 years of studying, I ended up working in many not-for-profit initiatives and startups, all around the topics of waste minimization and behavior change. And then that led me to start sharing tips and tricks on Instagram on how to reduce waste, how to live more sustainably. And somehow I became really passionate about promoting using your own cup and got involved in many sack-free initiatives, that's single-use cup-free campaigns. And that's how Mark, director of Chunky, got to know me. He told me, hey, I'm launching this new not-for-profit initiative and I think you'll be the perfect person to run it. That's how I came on board with our small team of three at Chunky. And yeah, I think I'm a good fit.
It's really nice that you know what you want to do since you were young and you get to do it right now, because I didn't know what to do when I was younger. When did Chunky first introduce the loan cup system?
Well, Chunky was born in 2017 with the mission to bring the work of inspiring new artists into the everyday. So basically we would put their art in reusable bottles. And then more recently in 2021, we introduced the Artist Series cups. So that's reusable cups. And the loan cup system came along with them. It was born as a startup and was supported by the Waste Minimization Fund in Queenstown, the Queenstown Lake District Council. And yeah, this is a system that supports cafes with free membership. And it was designed to be cash flow positive or cost neutral for cafes. The idea was to provide an option for the customer that forgets or doesn't have a reusable cup. In that case, they can loan one of our cups for $10 refundable deposit in any participating location. They can reuse it, they can keep it, they can swap it for a new one or return it for their deposit back. The cups are stainless steel, double wall insulated with a silicone lid, and they have full end of life recycling by us, by Chunky. We always had really strong values in sustainability, so that was sort of the obvious step for us to go.
What were some of the challenges you faced in promoting the loan cup system?
Well, there are actually so many challenges. And when you promote a new concept like this one, and even though we wanted to make it really simple for cafes, we find a lot of resistance. So firstly, cafes are busy and it's tough out there for businesses, in particular for small businesses. So usually not many have time to talk when I walk in. And then secondly, people are used to doing things in a certain way. So when you want to adapt another component or something different, there's naturally resistance. And I guess it's comfortable to keep doing things as you are used to. So that's definitely a challenge. And fairly, many people jump into the conclusion that it's expensive and that they don't have money to invest in the system, even though I try to explain that it's cost neutral or cash flow positive if they desire. It's not an easy task to get new members on board, but we're onto it. And I think, well, how I overcome these challenges is essentially I'm always very understanding of everyone's situations and treat everyone with respect and kindness. And that's something that I will always do. And because you find all sorts of behaviors out there, you know, when you talk with people. And if they tell me they are not interested, that's okay. I noted and I continue to the next cafe. Better to put my efforts into people that are maybe slightly curious. And yeah, if they spark some interest, I make sure that I can respond to all of their questions and I follow up. I think consistency is key. And to be honest, what it really helps is when there's a community movement behind it, because we can't do it alone, and I don't think we're supposed to. If there's people in the community that are interested, then they can help with this movement. It's way better than me doing it all remotely, because we want to create that connection with them.
A lot of businesses, when the customer came and they say they want disposable cups, if you say you cannot serve them disposable cups, then they don't want to buy. So what do you think is the solution for these businesses?
Well, the customer has a lot of options available. So really, if they are stubborn and they don't want to buy the coffee, that's when your values come in, and that's okay. Okay, maybe you can go support someone else. But I guess if so. I was the customer, I would be so happy to support someone that is trying so hard to do things differently and reduce waste, not just for them, but for all of us. Knowing that every time someone comes, they will have to explain to them, we don't do any single-use cups because we're reducing waste. And these are the options you have. So then it depends on how much effort and time you have to do that. And if your values are stronger than anything else, you will do it.
I just noticed that sometimes mostly are tourists because they want to bring the coffee and walk somewhere. That's the main problem, I think. Locals probably better, I would say. Mm-hmm. In a way, tourists, they want to bring it with them to go somewhere else. That's the problem.
Yeah, and that's why we want to get into the tourism sector as well. But ideally, that's why we want a lot of locations and a lot of vendors offering this system. So then tourists can go on the road trip and literally stop in so many different points where they can return their cup or reuse it.
If there are a lot of places to return, I guess it's really easy to do. So how has the loan cup system been received by your clients or customers so far?
We had only good feedback and good reviews, in particular from locals that use them all the time. And we heard quite a few times that this is the best reusable cup they ever had. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Have you partnered with any organization or initiative to support this effort?
Yes, we do. And we always try to adapt to everyone's different needs and support in any way that we can. We have supported Anamata. They are a zero waste hub and resource recovery center in Aotea, Great Barrier Island. Yeah, they initiated a project in 2023 to eliminate single-use coffee cups from the entire island. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they identified, like they did a lot of research and talk with the vendors, talk with the cafes and the community. And they identified that the ideal takeaway cup for Aotea would require certain characteristics. And these were affordable, not plastic, must be stackable to reduce impact on limited retail space, because that's another of the problems. Retailers don't have a lot of space to stock the cups, and also to reduce the shipping cost. The outside must be cool enough to hold without requiring single-use fissures or slips, and easy to clean and not easily breakable. Recyclable at the end of life, and simple system of deposit and return that anyone in our community could utilize. I literally read that from what they sent me. And we are happy we can help to fulfill all of that. And that's great. So Great Barrier Island is an amazing example of how the system can work. Mm-hmm. Then recently, we've been supporting Sack Free Mercury Bay. That's a campaign led by the team at Wahi Tukudua. And they are leading a strong campaign to reduce single-use cups in their area. And the same thing, they did their research and decided that Chunky or long cup system would be a great option for their cafes. Mm-hmm. You can go check them out on Instagram. They are doing so good. And we are also working with Whanganui District Council. Mm-hmm. They are also running their own campaign. And Chunky was, again, the option that they decided to go with. We also have relationship with Sustainable Waihi Beach. They still didn't launch the campaign, but hopefully for summer they will. Mm-hmm. And we're always in communication with Sakri Wakatipu and Wanaka. Mm-hmm. And that's like the single-use cafe campaigns. But then we support other organizations with long cap. For example, we support the not-for-profits like Wai Wanaka, mm-hmm. Wau Aotearoa, Love Queens and Love Wanaka. So we donate some long cups for them, and they can use them in their events. That's obviously to reduce waste of the single-use cups every time they need to do like a morning tea and during their volunteering sessions. And then we are also partnered with Sustainable Queenstown and with Dishwrap. That's an initiative that was funded to support local events in Queenstown to reduce waste through the provision of reusable serveware. So we loan some cups to Dishwrap and then they hire them for events. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the examples that I have, but I'm sure I'm forgetting some more. I always try to talk with everyone and be, okay, what do you need? How can I help you?
You have a lot of examples, that's why. And what advice would you give to businesses that consider to transition to reusable cups?
First of all, if you're considering that, good on you. That's the way to go. And in my opinion, it's a slow process, and because it's a matter of behavior change, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're a business that is trying to go completely single-use cup-free, mm-hmm. I would recommend firstly to have all the options available. That includes a mug library and a long cup system. And then your priority will be to communicate to your customers that you have decided to ditch single-use cups. And that there's no stress, that they have so many options available and you can promote, make time to stay. This means have a coffee here, take 5 minutes of your time, relax, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Or bring your own cup. Or if you forget, you can borrow one of ours, either from the MAC library or a chunky long cup, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's essential to ask your customers for support, you know, support our efforts, because this is everyone's responsibility, really.
Mm-hmm.
So communication here is key. And be gentle on yourself. It's a slow process, but it's important to take the steps necessary to go that way eventually.
Mm-hmm. And what's next for you or chunky in your sustainability journey?
Well, I believe we're just getting started. The Chunky Long Cup system is getting more visibility now and gaining momentum with the various campaigns happening around the country. So I think we would love to see Aotearoa being completely single-use cup-free.
Mm.
And our next steps are getting more businesses on board and businesses involved in this movement, from cafes to also accommodation centers, hotels, and tourism. And if you're listening to this, please reach out. We want everyone to know about us, and because this is our goal.
Yesterday, I checked that there are two cafes now in Dunedin that provide chunky cup. But I think when I checked last time, there were only one. So I guess you guys get one.
Yes, there's a new one, actually. Yeah. And you know how it works, because there was a cafe that posted on social media a photo of disposable cups. And then one of our followers commented something like, this photo will look way better if the coffee was in chunky long cups. And obviously we replied really kindly, we would love to have you on board.
Mm-hmm.
And the cafe then messaged me privately saying, hey, we would love to know more. We kept chatting and I sent all the information and they were like, yeah, we want to do everything that it's possible to reduce weight. So we want to give this a try. And from that, you know, from a person just commenting something on Instagram, then that's how change happened. That's why I'm saying we need everyone on board, on the same page. We need to be kind to each other, because cafes that don't have this system or other options does not necessarily mean that they are against the movement. It could be anything, really. But we need to be kind and understanding. And hopefully, you know, eventually they will come on board. Hopefully there'll be a ban in single-use cups in New Zealand soon.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the importance of reducing single-use cups?
So in my opinion, single-use cups are just a metaphor of how we do life nowadays.
Mm.
You know, we buy something, we use it for a short period of time, and then we put it in the bin, move on with our life, and forget about it. We usually don't stop for a second to think, okay, where is this product coming from? What resources have been used to produce it, or what impact or pollution was created in the process of making that? And then we also don't think of where it's going to end up and what impact it's going to have. I think we live like that. And the single-use cups is just one example, one simple and easy thing that you can do to change this disposable behavior, right? Because think about it, doesn't really make sense. So we essentially just use single-use cups for our convenience, and it takes almost nothing to change that behavior and that habit. So if you ask me, how can I start living more sustainably, or I don't know where to start, I would say, okay, start with not using any more single-use cups, because that's so simple. That's something everyone can do, and really there's no excuse for single use. So start with that, and then incorporate that new habit, and you can go from there. Then you start doing other things that may be a little bit more difficult to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about the cup itself. Of course, we want to reduce them and avoid them, but it's a metaphor of life and how we live. We want to change how we are living and be more respectful with our people and the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my message to everyone listening. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you need any help or support, please contact me. You can send them my Instagram after as well, and all details, please.
So last question that I need to ask anyone that I interview, which is, what makes you feel positive about the future in sustainability?
Well, I didn't prepare this question, as I was mentioning before, but I think we are on track. And I know it's very easy to get disheartened by the situation of the planet, but I do believe in people, and I do believe in collaborations. When we work together, change happens. And I think change needs to happen from the bottom up, but also from our higher, you know, from government. So if we all work together and don't give up, we are making this change that we want to see in the world. So that makes me feel positive, knowing that there's people out there doing their best to change this situation. And I would love for everyone to keep doing their best. Don't be hard on yourself. And yeah, we can definitely do this together.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's it for the question today. Thank you so much, Sophia, for your time and Chunky to want to do this interview with me.
So if you're a cafe or hotel or anyone and want to know more, please contact Sophie at sophie@chunky.nz or their Instagram page, bechunky.
Thank you so much for inviting us. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to have communication with you over the past few months. And all the best. And thank you for helping us to promote this movement. So please get in touch, guys.
Vinny, thank you. That was a really thoughtful interview and I got a lot from it. Tell me, what did you get from it? What was your big takeaway?
I'm not sure what, but in a way, like she, Sophie knows what she wanted to do since she was younger, and she kind of worked on it by doing the posts on social media. And I haven't really done anything like that other than doing it myself. I guess I have to like learn to be more like that. I'm not saying posting on social media or something, but generally try to have more people to try to aim to do the same and be more sustainable.
That is a beautiful aspiration to have in life. If you think about Sophia and her, the way that she practices, mm-hmm. what can you take into your own professional practice as you move into your profession?
I guess you just have to practice what you believe in and just keep doing it, even though there might be people that would say no sometimes, and always have to be kind, like what Sophia said, even because not everyone would understand what it is and why we have to do it, or maybe people also have reasons why they cannot do and be sustainable at the moment. But yeah, just have to be kind and understanding, and yeah, just try, if this doesn't work to this person, then move on to the other person and just treat everyone with respect and kind. So because it won't work if you try to force it to someone that won't necessarily agree with you.
Do you think that it's easier now than it was, even if you think about when you were younger as a child? Do you think that there is enough of an awareness of the issues now to make that change easier to navigate?
I believe that people are more and more aware now, but lots of the time, even my own family, they feel like what they do doesn't really matter because it's so little, but it actually matters. But I sometimes don't know how to communicate it with them. So most of the time I just do what I can, but I don't force them. Sometimes I say something, but they may not really like it, but I won't force it. Yeah, but and most of the time they will say like, they already put it in the recycle bin or something, but it's not their fault that the trash will end up in the ocean or things like that. But then I don't really know how to persuade them sometimes in this kind of cases.
I wonder if, because I think about this a lot, and I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why we do the Action Research Project, where we all get to pick a small thing we can do and actually create some sort of change and then measure the impact of that change. Mm-hmm. I wonder how long it'll be before somebody comes up with an app where you can feed in the data of a change that you've made to see what the impact is. And if that would actually help, do you think that would help if we had some way where people could make a change and then measure the impact of that change?
Probably, because, yeah, well, I think a lot of the time people feel hopeless, like what one person does won't matter. That's why they feel like, maybe I just don't do it because it doesn't matter. But if they can really see that they're really making an impact, probably they would be more motivated to do it and continue doing it, I would say.
There's we were talking with one of your classmates the other day, and we were talking about carbon credits and offsetting, you know, like when you catch a flight and then you can pay, you know, like $2 or whatever it is to offset the carbon of your flight. And my habit is to plant a some sort of fruit bearing plant, so a tree or a shrub, like might be a blueberry bush or it could be an orange tree or something. So every time I catch a flight, I plant something that we can eat. And it's incredible how fast all of a sudden I've got on a whole orchard growing in my garden.
That's nice.
It's just, those are the things, if we can get people to have practical solutions. And this, what Sophia has done is created a practical solution. So where do you think, for a model like Sophia's, where does she go from here? Where does that business go from here?
Just what she wants is like to spread the word so people will get into it more, because they're, even though they have, their main business is commercial, like selling those tumblers, but this side business, I don't know if you call it side business, but anyway, the Chunky Loan Cup is not really making money, from what she said. So if we can get more people and maybe even government or other organization to help them with the cost of spreading and sharing the loan cup to other people, then if people don't have to spend so much for the loan cup to be used as takeaway, I guess people will be more into not using disposable cups and using their loan cup.
Exactly. And it makes good sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If, when you think about your own future, where are you headed? If I was the magic job fairy and I could wave my magic wand and put you in the perfect job right now, what would it be? What's your dream?
I was thinking about that for a long time. I don't know exactly what, but well, something that could help and make a difference in the environment and or sustainability. And before I actually chose sustainable business, I was looking at environmental management. Maybe that's something that I'm more into, but because of my background in computer science, I couldn't really go to and study the Master of Environmental Management. But I guess something related to help preserve the environment and not destroy it even more right now will be something that I want to do, even though I don't know specifically what the job title is or something like that.
But you've got an idea for a direction to go in. And that's a lot of the battle won, isn't it? So that's so good.
I think the clue for that is to lean into computing. The reason I stuck with computing for so long, making a similar relationship to you, that given that the world is run by computers, then anything that computing can do to help other people and help other systems reduce their impacts and improve their positive impacts, then we've got an enormous lever available to us. Yes, computing's got its own footprint and so on to deal with, but that's trivial compared to its potential impact. We've just got to get the world, the computing world in particular, to see beyond the potential impact being solely about efficiency. Yes, there's efficiencies that to be made, but it's the approach that the world is taking with efficiency is let's get 10% more efficiency and then do the thing twice as much. So making it more efficient is not helping very much. But there's so many questions of sustainability that computing hasn't gone anywhere near. So there's such an amazing opportunity for you as a person with a computing background going into sustainability to actually make a difference. So you can go to environmental management and say, what's stopping environmental management being 100 times better? Right, there's your problem to solve. Let's figure out how to do that. Let's figure out how computing can help that. I think you've got an amazing opportunity. What are you doing your master's on, your thesis?
Right now, in the end, I'm doing something related to my previous job, so it's assessing the feasibility of using feasibility of reusable items instead of single-use items for in the aviation industry, but it's from the point of view of flight attendants.
Cool.
It's not really computer science related, I would say.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it would be nice, I guess, if I could do something related, but it's because I did my bachelor about 20 years ago, so I guess I'm a little bit outdated. I need to update myself first if I really want to do something related to the computer again, but at this moment, yeah.
But if you're working in, as somebody that understands computing, from a user-focused perspective, the software engineering, yes, it's sure it's changed from software development lifecycle approaches to agile approaches or hybrids of agile approaches, but it's still got that user at the center, and that's now expanding to a post-human type user, being more than the person who's sitting in front of the keyboard. That doesn't go away. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something that you can certainly do. What's your go-to definition of sustainability?
Not sure. I think Mawera asked this in class a little bit, and I say, about Kaitiaki, but I think it kind of have some similarities. And I think I gave a definition, something related to, because from what I've seen, what people think, and I even think, like, I cannot do everything. So just every little thing that you can do to help and preserve the environment. So, and from all the destruction that human has done so far, I guess.
I have some questions to end the show. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
The biggest success? Anything or...
It's your show. You could say anything you like.
At this moment, I cannot think of anything else, but probably to be a flight attendant before is one of the accomplishments. And I'm sure my parents were quite happy when I was still flying. Yeah, but too bad with COVID and everything. So now here I am. But yeah. Oh, and actually, making the decision to go back to school is also one of the, I won't say accomplishment or yet probably, but it's like a big take courage to make that decision and finally go back to school for a career change at this time.
What's your superpower?
Superpower? Superpower. I'm not drinking coffee probably. Everybody else seems like they first thing in the morning they have to have coffee to like awake or something, but I'm not. I don't know what else. Superpower.
That's a pretty good one. I share that one with you. What do you consider yourself to be, an activist?
Passive activist, can you say that? Not really actively actively saying it to everyone to be sustainable and everything, but I try to do it myself, and I hope everyone can see and think that it's a good idea and follow what I'm doing. I hope.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Right now is doing my thesis, the final project.
What challenge or opportunity are you looking forward to in the next year or so?
start looking for a job for like the first career, the new career that I'm trying to do right now. Yeah, that's the biggest challenge, I think, right now.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
I guess when you feel like kind of stuck and not sure what you have to do next, like what happened to me when I was made redundant during COVID, like I guess you don't need to hurry to make a decision, like either go back to the same career or try to do something that you might enjoy more. Just take your time and think about it well, instead of just make a sudden decision that you may not really enjoy in the future, I guess. Because it took me quite a while to finally decide to go back to school.
Well done for that. Thank you for that. Mawira.
There is no better time than right now, eh? And it does take courage, and it's hard to survive, and it's a big decision. But gosh, what a great decision you've made. And I know that you're going to take all of your previous work experience, what you've learned from your parents, what you've learned from your studies, and make the world a better place just by being in it. And I look forward to seeing where you go from here, Rennie. It has been a delight to share the teaching space with you and to have you in our class. And you're such a positive and happy person. So we thank you. We thank you for sharing with us today as well. And we wish you all the best for the journey ahead.
Thank you.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable, situation's terrible, but baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care. I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me that you really care?
Everybody got somebody to lean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on.
I've been fucked up and I've been fooled. I've been loved and ridiculed in daycare centers and night schools.
Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie, and this is the Token Wilburys and their Handle With Care. I'm Sam Moran and Soyuz Bay Dunedin, with Mawira Karatai and Eddie Whakatane, joined by Rennie, bringing us an episode of Coming Up For Air. I'm Samuel Mann, and that was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Nga te wā.
Next to mine, dream on. I've been uptight and made a mess, but I'll clean it up myself, I guess. Oh, the sweet smell of success. Handle me with care. Handle me with care.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.